Well, I hope you guys are feeling blessed. I know we have quite a few people traveling and some people sick. And one thing I did want to mention to you guys, because I know different people have been talking about it, that with the coronavirus, I know some people, you know, there's all kinds of different reactions. And one of the things we want to do as a church is just be respectful of where people are at. And so if you look around, you're going to see things like a lot more hand sanitizer. You're going to see that, you know, we've been trying to scrub the place. Even snacks have changed. And we don't want to cause you guys more worry and concern, but we want to make sure people feel comfortable. Even last week, the way we did communion, we changed it up a bit. I'm going to actually change it up probably one more step next month. So don't think that I'm just ultra paranoid. I just want people to feel comfortable worshiping in the presence of God. Amen. So I'm excited. So I think I mentioned to you several weeks ago that God put on my heart that he wanted me to preach a sermon on the Holy Spirit. And so we started that, and the one sermon ended up becoming three. And so today we're going to bring this to a close. And I think it's really important that if you haven't heard all three of the sermons, that you do. And so this afternoon I'm going to be meeting with some people, and hopefully we'll get everything together to get our sermons online. And that's because with this series, as we're talking about the Holy Spirit, you guys probably know this, and it's already come up over the last several weeks, that the Holy Spirit, it's a tough thing. He is a tough thing to understand, right? And I was doing some research last night and really looking at what statistics will say in churches everywhere about the Holy Spirit. And without a doubt, in the Trinity, in the Godhead, the Holy Spirit is the most misunderstood, misrepresented, and probably under-talked about person of the Trinity. And that's because, one, it's kind of hard. It's not very tangible to understand something that no one saw in the flesh like Jesus, right? And God is this huge, God the Father is this ultimate thing. We get that too. But this presence, this person that empowers us, it's so hard to get. And some of the miracles, the miraculous things that the Holy Spirit does, it can be kind of scary sometimes, right? But as I mentioned to you guys several weeks ago, it is the Holy Spirit who is the most active person of the Trinity in our lives. And that's because God the Father, the creator of the universe, he is everywhere, right? He is and he has been and will be. Jesus, the incarnation, is God in the flesh, and he came in flesh because he had to be sacrificed for our sins so salvation would be possible. And then the promised Holy Spirit, once Jesus left, came to empower us, right? And that started at Pentecost. But last week I told you that even prior to Pentecost, the beginning of the New Testament church, the Holy Spirit was present. The Holy Spirit was present at the creation of the world. We see that in Genesis. And then we also see that the Holy Spirit affected people in the Old Testament as well. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps draw people to God. It's the Holy Spirit that illuminates the message, the gospel, the word, so we understand it, right? Because without that understanding, it seems like foolishness. It sounds like nonsense to us. And that's the role the Holy Spirit has before we become believers. And then once we're believers, the Holy Spirit guides us. He convicts us, right? He helps us in all these different situations. And then he imparts these gifts to us as he chooses to help us to do ministry. But today I want to close out by talking about how is it that we listen better or listen more to the Holy Spirit? Because it's great to understand who he is. It's great to understand what he does. But if we don't understand how to listen to him, then he's not very useful, right? And that sounds so blasphemous, me saying that, but it's true. We have to submit to his leading. We need to listen to him in order for us to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so when we talk about listening to the Holy Spirit, there's three things we want to do. The first thing, and the three D's, we need to desire him. And then the second thing we need to do is we need to discern the Holy Spirit versus other spirits. And the final D is we need to decide to listen to him. And so we're going to start out talking about a desire that we need to have. And the first thing is that in order to listen to the Holy Spirit, we need to desire a change in our lives, right? It's just like that call to salvation. There has to come a point where we decide enough is enough. I'm tired of the same old thing happening to me. I'm tired of the same results, right? You guys have probably heard the definition of insanity. It's continuing to do the same thing and expecting a different result. So we have to desire a change. We have to desire something different in our lives. And the next thing is we need to desire fellowship with the Holy Spirit, right? God wants to be in community. God wants to be in communication and relationship with us. And the same thing is true of the Holy Spirit. John 14:23 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we, the Trinity, will come to him and make our abode with him. We, right? Communing with God and the Holy Spirit. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Isn't it powerful that without God, without the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything? Now again, that probably sounds a little crazy. You're like, well, I get up in the morning. You do, but who allows you to be alive? Who created you, right? We have to change our perspective in that. And again, you have to decide, do I enjoy the way I have been living my life and the things that I'm doing, or do I desire a change? 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Again, the Holy Spirit and God, he wants to commune with us. He wants to have fellowship with us. And the other thing we have to realize is that if we want to listen to the Holy Spirit, we also have to desire to be led by the Holy Spirit. Last week, if you guys were here, I had that picture of me learning to play the violin at 4 years old, and I told you that, you know, I took lessons for 10 years, and this is a little bit of a bunny trail. I absolutely didn't learn anything, right? But that's not the point. I don't want you guys to walk away with that. I want you to learn something from the Holy Spirit. But one of the things that I learned in the 10 years that I was playing the violin is that one of the hardest things to go through is when you have to switch teachers. And if you guys have ever had a coach, if you've played sports, if you've had a teacher and you've changed, it can be very difficult because different coaches and different teachers, they do things differently. But the thing is that if you want to progress, if you want to learn, if you want to get better, you have to desire to listen to them. And the same thing is so true of the Holy Spirit, that if you desire that change, if you want to experience something different in your life, you have to desire to be led by him. And the final thing, and we see this in 1 Corinthians 14:1, we need to desire the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow the way of love, so everything starts with love, and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So what does that tell you? 1 Corinthians, New Testament, that means prophecy is real. It happens today. Does it happen every single second? No, but it happens. Those spiritual gifts are real. They're active. You need to desire them. I want to run through the spiritual gifts and give you just a little definition, because again, this is one of those things that if I just throw it out there and don't explain it a little bit, you'll think it's kind of strange, it's a little bit weird. So the first one is wisdom. So a word of wisdom, this is a spiritual gift, and it's basically divine insight and direction on what to do. So there are people out there that they have spiritual wisdom. They just seem to know the answers. They seem to know what is the best decision, and that's because the Holy Spirit is guiding them. There are those that have the word of knowledge, and these are those that have divine information or facts, right? We've talked about before the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is information. Wisdom is knowing when to use that. So what's so amazing is that some people have the gift of just knowing things, and other people have a gift of knowing when to use those things. Third, and I think this is maybe one of the most powerful gifts, and it's amazing, and I know some of you possess this here in this church, it's the gift of faith. And we all have a faith in God, but there are some that there is a faith they have where they have no doubt. We could be going through the most tumultuous, crazy time, and they still have faith. And so that is an unlimited faith for an impossible situation. when you meet those people, it's amazing because those are the people that they rarely ever have a frown on their face. And they rarely ever say, I don't know how we're going to do it, because they have faith in God, and that's a gift from the Holy Spirit. There are those, and this is one of those that gets a little scary when you think about it, but then if you look at what we're praying about all the time, it should make us very comfortable. That is the gift of healing, right? And there are situations where the blind have been given sight. There are situations where tumors have shrunk. Crazy things I cannot explain. But here's the thing. Every week we're in here praying that someone would be healed. So how dare us talk about and pray about that and not believe in the spiritual gift of healing? Some people have that gift, and that is an amazing gift to have. The working of miracles. There's people that have the spiritual gift. They're just these creative powers. That's one I cannot explain either. They're just these crazy manifestations of things that happen. I'll be honest, I have yet to maybe see that. The closest thing would be an outreach I was part of years ago, and I think we had 100 turkeys and like 1,000 people we had to get turkeys for. And I'll tell you what, by the end of the day, we had extra turkeys and we served all 1,000 of those people. I would say that's a miracle. I wouldn't have believed it if I wasn't there. So that's probably the closest thing to a miracle that I cannot explain to you, but it happened, right? And it's those kind of stories that become kind of scary for people. But those things are real, right? Jesus talks about feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000 with just a handful of fish and bread, and there was more than they started with. Those are miracles, amen? Prophecy, and I think this one trips people up because they're always thinking, well, prophetic must mean it's all like I'm going to predict what's coming in the future. And there's an aspect of that, but really the prophetic gift, it's God speaking through a person with a message for another person or group of people to build them up, to comfort them, and to encourage them, right? But I think we get this thing like, oh, if someone has a prophetic gift, they're like a soothsayer. They have the magic eight ball and they know everything's going to happen in the future. No, no, they may know that if you don't repent, if you don't change your heart, you're going to have some problems. So it has to be about helping someone else, encouraging them or guiding them. That's what the prophetic gift of the Spirit is. Discerning of spirits is another spiritual gift. This is the ability to recognize and distinguish between different types of spiritual activity, whether it's divine, it's from God, or it's demonic. Or, and we'll talk about this in a minute, it's fleshly, because there's also a human spirit, right? And if you possess this gift, you're able to discern that. You can say, the Holy Spirit's just telling me there's something going on in your life, and I don't think it's God. I think it's you, or I don't know, maybe you're under some kind of spiritual attack. That's another gifting of the Holy Spirit. The next one, there's two more, so this was number 8, different kinds of tongues. And this is language of earth or heaven. And this is where a lot of people that are going to heaven that are going to be on both sides of this. Some people believe, you know, that the tongues, it has to be some kind of literal language. And there's others that are like, no, it's not. And I think in both cases, there's people that believe that and they're going to heaven. And that's one of those negotiable things. And if you want to talk with me sometimes, we can go to 1 Corinthians and I'll walk you through. And then you tell me what I believe. And we'll talk about that. Because when you go through Scripture, I think it's pretty clear. But I think a lot of people twist things up. But I'd love to sit down with some of you guys and go through like a mini Bible study. And we'll kind of talk about it together. And the final thing is there is the interpretation of tongues. And this is interpretation of a message that is given. And these are the 9 spiritual gifts that are specifically called the gifts of the Spirit, right? There's other kind of gifts, but these are the ones that we're focused on that we need to be praying about, right? In 1 Corinthians, we're told to desire the gift of prophecy, number 1. And I wonder if the reason that we're told that is because that's a gift about encouraging other people. So how incredible that the gift we should desire the most is the one that helps to lift and encourage people up the most. That makes a lot of sense to me. Now, the second thing we need to do if we want to listen to the Holy Spirit is we have to discern what is from God and what is not. 1 John 4:1, it tells us that we have to test the spirits. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." What that means is there's people out there that are going to claim to be Christians. They're going to say, "God gave me a word for you. I saw this in a vision last night." And they're completely full of it because it's not from God. But here's the thing. There are going to be situations where it is absolutely from God. And you need to be able to discern. And this isn't just for those that have that spiritual gift. For those individuals, it's going to be a lot easier for them because they're just in tune to that. For others, you need to start testing the spirits to see what spirit it is. And there's three spirits that can be affecting you. One, the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about this. And so hopefully, as we've talked about who he is, and last week we talked about what he does, hopefully you're getting more familiar with him. And the key to all of this is the more familiar you are, the more you experience the Holy Spirit working in your life, the more comfortable it's going to be for you, the more you're going to understand it because you're seeing it, you're experiencing it. So the Holy Spirit is the first spirit. The second one, and we all struggle with this, it's the human spirit. It's our flesh. Galatians 5:16-17 says, "But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." Right? So our own flesh, our own earthly desires, our lusts, those things, they're in opposition of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit wants. That's one way to test the Spirit is be like, wow, is this from me or is this from God? And that's a hard thing to ask because we're selfish by nature. And the final one is a demonic spirit. Ephesians 6:11-12 says, "Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." We're not really fighting against people, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. How many of you guys know that Satan is real? Greatest trick in the world is for Satan to fool people into thinking he does not exist. Satan is real. Satan wants to seek, kill, and destroy us. We don't need to be afraid, though. But we have to have some knowledge about this. Now, what's interesting is that in the Old Testament, and also in the New Testament, basically in the Bible, the tests, right, for testing the Spirit and seeing what was from God and what wasn't, it was pretty easy. Deuteronomy 18:21-22 say, "You may say to yourself, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is the message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alarmed." So basically, if someone says, "Hey, this is a message from the Lord, it doesn't happen," well then don't worry about it, right? Pretty clear, pretty basic, pretty easy, right? Now, sometimes things take a little period of time, but the bottom line is that. The second thing, Deuteronomy 13:1-3 says, "If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or wonder, if that sign or wonder spoken of takes place, and the prophet says, 'Let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them,' you must not listen to those words, to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul." I would say separate out the testing part, right? Get that out of your head for right now. Right now, focus on, there's got to be times where some pretty amazing things happen,
But if someone says, oh, that was Mother Earth, let's go worship Mother Earth. No, that's not God, right? That's the simplest thing. And unfortunately, in this day and age, there's a lot of that kind of talk going on. That's another way that you discern the spirits is, did it happen? And who are you attributing things to? In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul went a step further and stressed the importance of distinguishing between the spirit of truth and error, because some people have a tendency to ascribe any unusual experience to God. I know for myself, there was a period in time that I was like so seeking the Holy Spirit, and I was like, God, you know, I just want more of you, that I would be like, oh, that piece of wood just fell. That was the Holy Spirit. And it's like, no, that's not, right? But I just wanted it so bad, right? But then there's people that aren't even chasing after God and the leading of the Holy Spirit, but they're just wanting to attribute everything to him. So we need to be careful. 1 Corinthians 12:1-2 says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Here's the part that's important to think about here. It says, you know that when you were pagans, non-believers, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. So there's people who would attribute things to mute idols, to these little statuettes, right? These little porcelain or gold little statues, and they would say, all the power, all these things happening are from this little idol. We have to be careful of that, because today our idols could be other things, right? They don't have to necessarily be little statuettes. One commentary said this, Paul did this because Christians needed to be reminded that demonic activity could penetrate their churches. Spiritual activity is not necessarily godly activity. We must be discerning. We must listen and evaluate carefully the message and the messenger against the infallible authority of Scripture. So we have to know what the Bible says, and we need to rightly divide the Word of God as well. So we need to know, and we need to get what it means. Jesus also referenced this. Jesus himself said in Matthew 24, verses 24 and 25, for false messiahs, and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect, those that are saved, those that are called. See, I have told you ahead of time. So Jesus told us himself, there are people that are going to proclaim to be me. They're going to proclaim that things are going to happen because of the Holy Spirit, and they're false. And I'm telling you this ahead of time, so be aware, be prepared, be on the lookout for this. So the question is, how do we test the spirits today? Because it is different, right? Times are different, our experiences are. Well, one, pray. James 1 and 5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to them. Pray, that's the first thing. If someone says, hey, God told me this for you, pray. That's the most simplest thing. And pray that God gives you an answer, or maybe just a little feeling inside. Two, know what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So pray, read your Bible. Seek wise counsel. Proverbs 11 and 14 says, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. I encourage you, if you do not have a prayer partner, if you do not have an accountability partner, get one. But get one that's mature in the faith. And surround yourself with other people like that, because they can help you. If someone told you, hey, this person down the street said this, or last night, I don't know, I was dreaming and I felt God was speaking to me. Talk to some people about that. Because maybe it was God. Maybe it was the pizza you just ate, right? And I've seen that. We laugh, but I have seen that. And people can cause a lot of destruction that way. I've seen people try to prophesy people having babies. And it's devastated people's faith because it didn't happen. We have to be careful. That's the other thing, too. If God gives you a message for someone else, you better be sure God told you to say it, because you're now accountable for that. And that's a scary thing to think about. Right? So we can't take this lightly, whether it's us receiving something from the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit encouraging us to tell someone else. We have to be really discerning ourselves. And then you need to look for the fruit. I love this one. Matthew 7, verses 5 through 18 says, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit." And here's the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." So there's a very straightforward test as well. Ask yourself, is this information someone's giving me, does it have love, joy, forbearance, kindness? Because if it's not those things, maybe it's not the Holy Spirit, maybe it's not God. Now this final thing, if you guys give me a few more minutes, because I think it's important to cover this, is what do we do, or we need to decide, right? Ultimately, we need to decide to listen when the Holy Spirit communicates. Because the Holy Spirit is here to help us. John 14 and 16 says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." The Holy Spirit helps us, that he may be with you forever. John 14, 26 says, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." The Holy Spirit is here to help us, to guide us, to teach us. Francis Chan has this quote he said. He said, "The church becomes irrelevant when it becomes purely a human creation. We are not all we were made to be when everything in our lives and churches can be explained apart from the work and presence of the Spirit of God." I hope we never become that church that says we did this. We need to be the church that says that God did this. There's crazy, crazy things. We can't explain it, right? That's the kind of church we want to be. Now, I want to go through these final few things. So these are some of the ways that the Holy Spirit will communicate with us. There are some of these terms you may have heard. People kick them around. You may not even have understood what they meant. Maybe you do. The inner witness. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I talked about that last week. That's Romans 8:16, right? It's a witness that we are saved. And then Romans 9:1 says, "I tell you the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit is a witness for us, right? There are times where there are people out there that facts or data or just this gut feeling, that's what they're going on to make decisions or how they're led. But when you're paying attention and listening to the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that will guide your conscience. And how amazing is that? That if you're in a situation and maybe you're acting a certain way, the Holy Spirit will guide your conscience and tell you, this is not the right thing to do, right? He's going to convict us. So that they're in a witness. It's almost, literally, it's like the Holy Spirit's in us witnessing our behavior, right? That's a great way to think about it. Next, the Word of God. There's times, and I know many of you guys have said this, where the Holy Spirit's going to guide you to a scripture. And I know this because I've had many of you guys send me scriptures, and I'm like, that's incredible. And you're like, God just put this on my heart. I'm like, that's awesome. Praise God. And the amazing, amazing thing is when you do that, and someone's like, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Well, yeah, that's because the Holy Spirit is directing you to the Word. Or sometimes you'll just open up your Bible, and you'll read a passage, and it just jumps out at you. And like, oh my, whoa, that is exactly what I was going through. Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit. And he's communicating to you. through the Word of God. Also, leadings, right? Many times I'll say, man, I felt led to do this, led to call you. Romans 8:14 says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We are followers of Christ. We are led by the Spirit of God if we so choose. Matthew 4:1 says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So again, we talked about this last week. Even Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you. Sometimes he's going to lead you to go right instead of left. Sometimes he's going to lead you to reach out to someone. That's what's so amazing if you'll listen to that. A check, and you may be like, what is a check? A check is a vaguely unsettling, unpleasant feeling. Most of the time, this feeling's intended function is to make you stop what you're doing and double check yourself that you're making the right choice. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to stop you in your tracks. Acts 16:6-7 says, they passed through Phrygian and the Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, right? Wow, so Paul wanted to share the gospel. The Holy Spirit said no. And after they came to Mysia, they were going to try to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, did not permit them. The Holy Spirit will stop you and check you if you will listen. I think I shared last week that I've been in multiple situations where I was driving my car and I was like, I got to get on the highway. It's right over there. And I had a check in my spirit. Holy Spirit said, no, don't go that way. And I'm like, well, why? That's twice as long. Only to find out half hour later there's a wreck and I could have died. It happened. I can't make this stuff up. It's real. It sounds crazy. It sounds kooky. I get it. But when you pay attention, it'll change your life. I wouldn't share something with you that was heresy, that wasn't true. I mean, it's right there in the Bible. I'm just giving some context in my own life. Now, the three things, these all come from a verse in Joel or Joel, and Peter references this at Pentecost at the beginning of the church. Acts 2:15-18 says, these people are not drunk, right? And this is when people were talking about tongues and they're like, well, what's going on? And Peter says, these people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel or Joel. In the last day, God says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men, and this is young men and women, will see visions. Your old men and women will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. So visions, dreams, and prophecies, they still happen. And God communicates us or to us through them. I'll give you one verse to support those three things. So one verse for each. I have a lot, but I'll give you one. So I want you to know it's coming from the Bible. Acts 18:9 says, and the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent. So sometimes the Holy Spirit through a vision is going to tell you what to do or what not to do. With dreams, Matthew 1:20 says, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, this is Jesus' dad, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, right? Because he wanted to quietly divorce her. And the Holy Spirit, right, was like, no. God was communicating to him through a dream. And the difference between a dream and a vision, well, a dream, you're sleeping, right? A vision is when you're awake. That's really the only difference. And then again, the final one is prophecy. Actually, let me give you the two connecting verses. So 1 Corinthians 14:1-3 says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands. But his spirit speaks mysteries. Basically, he's saying desire prophecy because that's for everyone. A tongue is basically between you and God is what he's talking about here. But here's the kicker with anything, with a prophecy, with a dream. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Amen. The Holy Spirit is alive and active, and He wants to be part of your lives. That's why for the last 3 weeks, I have said, bow your heads, close your eyes, and if you want to experience more of the Holy Spirit, if you want someone to guide every decision, if you want someone to help you in your greatest time of need, say, Lord Jesus, I desire more of the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. So I want you guys to bow your heads, and as Matt comes up here, I'm going to ask that one more time. And you guys can do this all the time. I just want to do this as a congregation. But the Holy Spirit is our helper. He is our guide. If you want someone walking alongside of you every single day who is going to nudge you and say, go this way, not that. Stay away from this person. They're going to hurt you. Or maybe it's go to this person. This is an incredible opportunity. Then I ask you guys as you bow your heads and close your eyes to raise your hands and say, Lord Jesus, I want your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we love you. We need you. Your word tells us we can't do anything without you. Holy Spirit, come into our lives in a way that we have never experienced. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that we will be a Holy Spirit-led church submitted to you. I pray that people would come here every week and they would feel the presence of God. Lord Jesus, help us for those here. Lord, we know that you're in us. You can communicate with those not here today. I pray too, Lord, if there is anyone that doesn't know you, that your Holy Spirit would burden them, that the word would become alive and active, and they would say, Lord, I need you. I want to be saved. Lord Jesus, I pray for this church. I pray that you would give us discernment on what to do and what not to do. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would continue bringing people here. Lord, there's things we can do. We can pray, we can market, we can do all these wonderful things. But your word tells us that you're the one that grows the church. I pray, Lord, that each of us would be led by your Holy Spirit to who to invite to church. Lord Jesus, I pray that even now you are preparing the people that we are inviting. Lord, we pray for those that are sick, for those that are going through challenges, Lord Jesus, those traveling. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would manifest in their lives. We thank you for the miracles we have already seen for people, Lord, that have had surgery for cancer and a few days later they've been here. That is so amazing, Lord Jesus. For you bringing people who have told us that God just said, this is my church. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Lord, we desire more of that. We desire your spiritual gifts. Lord, we pray all these things in your name. Amen. We love you guys. You're dismissed. Please fill out the ballots. Sign up for Foodie Friday. That's this Friday. Invite your friends. And also, if you guys want to help us with transportation for any of our senior ministry events, that sign up is in the back as well.